Good morning, welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on the 8th perek of Sefer Melachim Aleph. This is an extremely long perek, so when you take a look at this inside, it really goes up to the 60s of Psukim, which is very long. I actually would advise you highly to take a look at it inside, because it's one of the most remarkable prokim in Nach. On so many levels. This is the perek when the Beis Medrash is finished, and what Shlomo HaMelech says and does as it is completed. So it's really divided into three sections. The first section is when the Ark is brought into the Migdash. The second section is when Shlomo gives a historical testimony about the legacy of the Beis Migdash. And the third section is his prayer, his tefillah, on finishing the Beis Migdash. It really is an unbelievable, unbelievable section. Let's focus on a few points. The first thing he does is he gathers together all the heads of the tribes, all the heads of the Nesiyeh HaAvos, and he brings them to Yerushalayim, and he makes a statement. It's in a month called Yerech HaEsanim, which means the month of the strong ones, which the Ralbag understands, and most of the Mefarshim understand to mean, is Tishrei. It's the month of strength. It's a month where we have to do a lot of self-correcting and self-strengthening. So this is in Tishrei that this is all happening. And they all are all coming, and they escort the Aaron, which remember up to now has been waiting in the house of David, and they escort in this most beautiful fashion to the Beis Hamikdash itself, to the Kodesh Kodashim, under the Kruvim of Shlomo, which are placed there already. And there's this beautiful ceremony where they are without sacrificing. We're going to get to the ceremony a little bit later on in the Perek itself. And there's this beautiful description that as the Aaron is put into the Mikdash and the Kohanim recede, then what happens is that the cloud, ve'anon molei es beis Hashem, the cloud fills the house of God, and the Kohanim could no longer enter. Ki molei kavod Hashem es beis Hashem, because the honor of Hashem filled the house of Hashem, cloaked in, of course, the clouds. This is very similar to the Kriyas HaTorah at the end of Parshas Shmos, or Sefer Shmos, which is Ed Pukudeh, which we actually just finished this last week, where it talks about how the Mishkan was filled with the presence of Hashem expressed in this cloud, and they also, Moshe Rabbeinu could not enter into it. So we have a very similar description, beautiful description, so to speak, of Hashem entering this abode. Why is he doing this now? What's the point of this? So the Malbim points out, quoting the Gemara, that he's about to sanctify, he's about to take a building and a structure, which is really made of materials and physical entities, and he's about to turn this into something which is holy. To do that, you actually need to be done in the presence of a Beis Din. It needs to be done in the presence of the greatest Beis Din of Shivim Ve'echad of 71, and that's why it's done in the presence of all these individuals. Okay, we move on to the next section. Shlomo Melech then makes a speech. Oz Omar Shlomo. Shlomo makes a short speech, and it's about the legacy and the history of the Beis Hamikdash. He starts off by saying the following: Hashem Omar Lishkon Ba'arafel. God wanted us to live in darkness, in dark clouds. But I have built for him a sanctum for all eternity. And he goes and he says, and he gives a bracha to all of Israel, and he says the following: Blessed is Hashem, because Hashem's told David my father, because you wanted to make me a house, and which was never done for me from the time I left Egypt till now, and it was not possible during your time, because of your noble request, I'm going to allow your son to do it, and I am the son, I did it, I made this house for Hashem for all times, and I put the Aron of the covenant into it, which is the one that they brought out when they went out of Mitzrayim. What's the purpose of this statement before going further in the parak? The Malbim says, he gives a mashal. Imagine that you have a nobleman who has a very great affinity to nature, and there's this particular place along the coast, very remote area by its own cove, which is most beautiful, has the fresh wind, trees, and he loves going to visit that area, that particular area, because it's to him it's a very special place. And so some of his friends get together, and they make for him a palace. They make for him a special place where he's going to live, which is exactly in that cove, exactly on that little beach where he loved to spend all his time. And he comes back, how much more so will he love that place? Not only now is it simply a beach, it's a house. It's a place where he can live in the place he loves. So says the Malbim, Hashem wanted to dwell here in darkness. Lishkon Ba'arafel, where he says the Malbim, well, if you look at the history, there are many things that happened there. That's where Adam HaRishon was created, that's where the Akedah happened. All these things, as David HaMelech bought the Goron Arvona, all these things happened in this place. Hashem loves this place. What does Shlomo do? Shlomo says, I'm going to build Hashem a house in this place. How much more so will he love this place because of the palace that he now has in it, so to speak? And then Shlomo Melech starts, and Pasuk Chof Bei is the most elaborate and beautiful prayer. He gathers everybody together in front of the Mizbeach, and he spreads out his hands to the heavens, and he describes what is the function of the Beis Hamikdash. And we should really pause. What is the function of a Beis HaMikdash? What is the point of this Beis HaMikdash? I really advise everybody to take a look at what Shlomo says over here. He goes on to describe this as being the place where everybody can come and connect with Hashem. Everybody can come and pray. And he gives examples. It's a place where Upon Yisrael Tfilas Avdecha, Hashem is going to always turn to your prayers in this place. Then he goes to Shramata Tchinas Avdecha V'Amcha Yisrael, not just the individual, but even all of Israel, he's going to listen to you. Then he goes on and gives more explicit examples. Eis Asher Yechte Ish L'Re'eu. Yechte Ish L'Re'eu. Let's say you sinned against your friend, you hurt your friend, and now you want to do tshuva. Where do you go? You go to this place, and Hashem will listen to you if you have real contrition. What happens if Israel are attacked by their enemies on a global level? What do? They'll daven in this place, and Hashem will listen. If there's a ra'av, if there's a famine, dever, if there's pestilence, shidofon yerakon arbe chasil, if you have all these terrible plagues and blights that can hit a society, where do you go? You go here. And if you pray really and you thank Hashem properly, Hashem will listen to you. And now he goes on to another level. V'gam el nochri ha-nochri asher lo imamcha Yisrael hu, ubam e'eretz rechoka. Even a non-Jew who comes from a distant land to come to the Beis HaMikdash to pray, Hashem is going to listen to his prayers in this place. When you go out to war, then on your enemies, you're going to pray and Hashem will listen to you. When you get captured by your enemies in the foreign lands, you'll daven through the medium of this place, which is where we're at now. And Hashem will listen to you. What a remarkable description of this, of the Beis Olamim, of this place where Hashem is special. And he closes with the following words in this beautiful, beautiful prayer. Ki atah yivdal tom l'cha l'nachla mikol amei ha'aretz. Because he made you special. Because he made you special. You made him a special place. You are his special people. And it's such an incredible thing. It is interesting to note that when we look at the Beis HaMikdash and we look at and we contrast it to the houses of worship of other religions, and certainly in time immemorial, think about how exclusatory they were. How they were a place of incitement against the others, the infidel of their culture and of their religion. And think about the Beis HaMikdash, a place where Shlomo HaMelech Lechatchila says, before even opening it up, this is a place where everybody can pray. And in fact, the Ralbag points out, if you look through the Pesukim, it's actually clear that the non-Jew praying here has greater access in his prayers than a Jew does, because a Jew needs to do real contrition and change. The non-Jew, even without that, the Tfilos are answered, because that's how far the Kiddush Hashem goes of a non-Jew being able to ask in the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Beisi Beis Tfilah L'chol Ha'amim, and this is really where it starts. Shlomo then turns from the Beis HaMikdash, this beautiful blessing, he turns to the people and he gives a prayer to all the people. He spreads out his hands to the heavens and he blesses all of them. Kol gadol le'mor, Baruch Hashem asher nasa menucha l'am Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem who gave peace to his nation of Israel. Lo nafal davar echa mikol davar ha'tov asher diber. Nothing fell from all his good, the good things he promised through Moshe to you. And he says, please let Hashem be with you, not let him al yazvenu v'al yitshenu. These are words which sound familiar in the davening. And Hashem should, if you devorai el asher ischananti lifne Hashem krovim el Hashem elokenu. They should be close to Hashem, this prayer that I'm making. To teach kol amei ha'aretz ki Hashem hu elokim. That the Hashem is the God. Ein oy, there is nothing else besides Hashem. This is the function of the Beis HaMikdash. That's your mission, Israel, when you have the Beis HaMikdash. The end of the parak concludes with a ceremony where Bnei Yisrael, led by Shlomo HaMelech, sacrificed many, many zvachim in the Beis HaMikdash. It says, in fact, 22,000 cattle were shechted, and 110,000, 120,000 of flocks were sacrificed. You can imagine this is a mega ceremony that's going on over here on the outside altar, and it concludes with a 7-day festival. Interestingly enough, it's in the month of Tishrei. It's 7 days preceding Sukkos. The Gemara learns out from here actually that Ein Ma'ariv Simcha B'Simcha. We don't mix two Simchas together: the Simcha of Yom Tov and the Simcha of the Chanukah's Habayis. And they're back-to-back 7 days. Now, if you're looking at that carefully, you'll notice that that actually coincides with not just Aseret Yemei, but Yom Kippur. So what happened on Yom Kippur that year? So Radak said on a pshat level, probably even though they were sacrificing that one day, they didn't eat because Yom Kippur is biblically mandated. But Chazal say otherwise. And the Radak quotes the Chazal. The Chazal say no. This was 1 year where Yom Kippur was not kept by not eating. It was kept by the festivities of the Beis HaMikdash, because just like Shabbos is nidche, is pushed aside, for the Mishkan, the Yom Kippur was pushed aside for the Beis HaMikdash. What a remarkable week. Can you imagine how the Yom Kippur was celebrated in that year? And the Perek concludes with one of those beautiful times in Israel. Vayavarchu es HaMelech, everybody on the eighth day of Pes of Sukkos, every blesses the king. Vayelchu lo aleim smechim v'tov elev, every goes to their tents, happy. For all the good that Hashem did to David his servant and to Israel his people, maybe we should merit, because of that, we see the same legacy. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.